Am I good now? Praise God. How are you this morning? Good. Welcome online. If you're with us, we are so honored to have you with us this morning. If this is your first time, thanks for being with us. I am Pastor Tiffany, and we are starting a new series called Choose Joy. Say, Choose Joy. Did you not love that exhortation? Bam. I have to be honest. I was sitting right there. They used to say this in kind of our Bible school days, circle in the runway, trying to figure out which direction the Holy Spirit wanted me to go, because that is a good word. And sometimes we miss an opportunity to respond to a word. How many of you know there's some movement, there's an expression to our faith? And so I do want to do something. I asked the team to kind of be ready to kind of come back up here and just put into practice some things that we're going to share this morning. But if you'll just do me a quick favor, and you'll just close your eyes for 1 second. Everyone in the room, just go ahead and close your eyes for 1 second. And while they're closed, I want you to do this favor for me. I want you to picture Jesus. Okay, you can open them. I wonder what your picture of Jesus looked like in your mind. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I wonder if Jesus was smiling when you pictured him. I don't really know a picture that I can think of Jesus where he's smiling. He always looks a little semi-depressed, and he looks quite skinny as well. Except for that every time we hear about Jesus, he's going to another meal. He's on his way to a meal, leaving a meal, he's having some food, he's breaking some bread, but Jesus always looks skinny and sad. But the Jesus that I read about in the pages was always hanging around children. How many of you know children don't like sad, boring people? If kids don't like you, it's a checkup. You know, I mean, typically kids hang around with fun people. You find them climbing on fun people, enjoying fun people. And it's interesting because the disciples were trying to get the children off of Jesus. And he was saying, hey, come with me, I'm fun. He was a smiling God. He was sitting around with his disciples, enjoying dinners and breaking bread and passing along jokes. And I just find that Jesus, the Jesus that we serve, was a joyful God. Now, I'm going to read some things that the Holy Spirit has been dropping in my heart. And we, like I said, we're getting ready to start this series. And it's been rolling. We've had it planned for months and months. And it's been rolling around not only in my heart, but in my mind. And I've been rehearsing scriptures that I've known almost all of my life. Almost all, literally, if you can think of some about joy, like the joy of the Lord is my. You know, there's so many scriptures. Rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. There's scriptures all through and that I've known, that have been in my vernacular, that I can quote without even thinking about it. But I've been re-looking at those scriptures, and I want to say this. It's a personal confession. If I can say anything about my personal walk, Christian walk, is that maybe the disciplines in my life have become more comfortable to me than the expressions of my faith. Maybe the disciplines of my life have become more comfortable to me than the expressions of my faith. Now, I don't want any of you that are a little more on the stoic side to get concerned, because its expression's not only done in the jumping and the shouting and the singing. But surely joy is not void of this. Surely joy is not void of the shout or the jump or the dance. It's not void of this. We would only need to attend a wedding celebration to know how people really celebrate when they're excited about something. And I wonder if through this series we might look at our own selves and say, does our Christian walk reflect the fruit of the Spirit of joy? Now, I know that some of us grew up in extreme joy movements. Do I have any extreme joy movement people? Okay, maybe there's three of us. So the rest of you, I would gather, might be on the other extreme. You know, we grew up, Pastor Stephen often tells stories of his Pentecostal mother dancing down the aisles with her bun, and as she danced, the bun came unraveled and it unleashed. Hannah grew up much the same, where there was dancing and celebrating and rejoicing and praying in the Spirit and uncontrollable laughter and expressions of faith that would honestly seem ridiculous to the natural man, but they were a move of God. But there are some of us that grew up where whether even just a tiny raise of a hand or maybe even a shout, amen, would seem odd in a service. Anybody else grew up in things like that? I see a lot more nods. Which would make sense why sometimes even for Coastal Family to push those levels would seem like we're going against the grain. I realize this, that the triune God, the triune Trinity, is neither stoic nor strange. It's neither. God is not strange to where he looks unappealing, yet he's not so stoic that there's not a dance or a jump or a shout. And as we grow in our Christian walk, I'm wondering if we can become so knowledgeable that we're way too serious and we've lost our expression of who God really is. I wrote this down. I think we overthink and underthink. I think we overthink and underthink because a thankful heart is always a joyful heart. What's so interesting is on the very first scene of Jesus coming to this earth, he's in the womb of his mother Mary. And Mary makes a little journey to see her cousin Elizabeth. And as the very first encounter that Jesus makes, he's not even yet come to this world necessarily in the flesh standing there. He still is remaining in the womb of his mother. And yet his cousin John, who's in the womb of Elizabeth, he leaps for what? For joy. Isn't it amazing that without even Jesus standing right in front of him, there's an expression of joy that comes from coming in contact with him? Am I good now? Oh, perfect. Thank you. Throughout this series, we're going to be spending a lot of our time in the book of Philippians. Where the Apostle Paul has written a letter to this group of people. Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi while he's in a Roman prison. And the theme of joy, I want to give you a little background. The theme of joy or rejoicing in the book of Philippians appears over 16 times in just four chapters. This letter radiates a positive message and strengthens these believers, showing them that true joy comes from a relationship with Christ. Now, I want to give you a little background because as I've been thinking and meditating on the book of Philippians, I've read it now several times and read several commentaries on it. But what's so interesting is, I don't know about you, but have you ever met like some friends, or you've met a couple that's been married for a really long time? And one of the very first questions I like to ask people is, how'd you meet? I'm always curious, like, what was your first interaction? Like, how did you meet? And so I want you to see, because there's a lot of things in the book of Philippians that Paul makes reference to this group of people, even just how he feels about these group of people, his relationship with this group of people in Philippi. And even in Philippians, they're going to put it up on the screen. If you want to go there, you can. But in Philippians chapter 1, this is just the very first chapter, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 in the NLT. He says this about these people. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you, and I long for you with tender compassion of Jesus. Paul, in the book of Philippians, opens up saying, I love these people. They're dear to me. And he begins to express himself. But I'm going to take you to the place where Paul first meets this group of people. It happens in Acts chapter 16. And maybe this week during your reading time, it's the second portion of Acts chapter 16. And Paul is actually on his way to another destination. Paul and Silas, they say that Luke also joined them. There might be a few more guys. And Paul and Silas and Luke are on their way it's actually Paul's second missionary journey. And they're on the way to go to a destination, and Paul has a vision. Paul has a vision, and on this vision, he sees a gentleman that cries out for help. In this vision, it says, basically, the man says, come help us. We need your help. And so because of this vision, Paul changes directions and goes to this group of people that are in Philippi. He's never been there. And while he's there, he establishes a church. He gets in. So if you want to take the time in Acts, let me read this to you where Paul had the vision. It's Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. It says, and that night Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia and northern Greece, where Greece was standing there, pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God, now check this out, that God was calling us there. Say, God was calling us there. So Paul and Silas and Luke make their way to Philippi, through way of Macedonia and Greece. And the very first time that they're there, they go to a place where they feel like some people will be coming to prayer, and they go down there and they meet a woman named Lydia. Lydia is a very successful businesswoman. She sells purple cloth, and almost every single commentary, it speaks of her being a wealthy businesswoman. So they come in contact with Lydia. They begin to share the gospel with her. She is Jewish. She has some awareness of who Jesus Christ is, but she opens up her heart in even a bigger way, invites Paul and Silas, actually pretty much begs them to come and stay with her. Not only do they come and stay with her, but it says that all of her family comes to know the Lord, and they're baptized. Sounds like a great start. Hallelujah. They're on their way, and God is doing some things. And then they come in contact. They go to the church. It says that they would go to the place of prayer daily. And they're on their way, and they're praying daily, day after day. And they come in contact with a woman. Now, she's a possessed woman. Well, actually, she is possessed, but she's a fortune teller. And she's able to speak to people's futures and able to tell things about them. And she's actually hired by businessmen who make their living off of her. And she comes in contact with Paul and Silas as they're making their way. It says day after day after day. And they're going to the place of prayer. And it says that she taunts them. And she begins to irritate them. And she begins to harass them, making fun of them. Because how many of you know she's putting her power against their power? What she's saying is, hey, listen, I've got the goods. I can do what I can do. How about you? And Paul gets fed up with it. Anybody ever get fed up with something? Paul gets fed up with the girl, irritating him day after day after day after day. And so he turns around and casts the devil out of her. And immediately, the Bible says, immediately the devil left her. Immediately the demon left her. Now, here's the funny thing. The businessmen must have been watching. They must have been close by, because they, as soon as that happened, there must have been some truth. There must have been some light. There must have been something that took place where they could see that demonic activity leave that lady while Paul and Silas were there. So much so that the men that had hired that lady and all the surrounding people grabbed Paul and Silas. And a mob takes place. A mob takes place. And the higher authorities of the town say this. They say, strip them naked and beat them. Beat them. Now, just a few seconds later, we were having a move of God. Just a few seconds prior to this, we had been obedient and had a vision. We had gone to the place of Philippi because we had seen a vision and we had met Lydia, who actually was probably supplying their needs. This is a God thing. And all of a sudden, I'm naked and beaten. And Paul and Silas find themselves in a dungeon. It doesn't even say a cellar or a jail. It says they take them, but it says that they put them in the dungeon, and it says they put stocks around their feet. Now, I got to fast forward in my notes because I just preached that all. And I'm wondering if they said, how did obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit, getting a vision, meeting Lydia, casting a demon out, how did that get me to a prison cell in a dungeon, beaten and naked? How did obeying God land me here? And I'm wondering, maybe you can ask your own personal question. I'm wondering if the same thing is true about your life right now. How did coming to church, joining a small group, how did being generous with my time, treasure, and talents had lead to a struggle on my job? How did reading a word, finding community, how did stepping into my purpose land me to being naked and in prison? Now, you're not literally naked in prison, but guess what? There are seasons in our life where it feels like, guess what, God? I'm obeying you. I did what you said. I've been in your word. I've been going to church. I have community. I'm in a small group. I'm being generous with my time. How did that land me here? I personally, my friend Hannah can come up. I personally have been asking myself that question. Back in March, and you've heard this story over and over again, but I began to ask myself this question one day. I'm sitting there. How did I fall on my way to a small group? I'm being honest. It was a Sunday. Who falls on Sunday? At least if the devil's going to attack you, it's going to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, not Sunday. That's the day I'm most spiritual, at least. On Sunday, after service, just getting ready to be with my couple small group, going to dinner, just not even doing anything wrong, just enjoying the sunshine, sitting on my porch. How did that get me a broken pelvis in two places? And as I'm sitting there one evening in March, I'm sitting there in the dark, most places where the enemy likes to attack. How many of you know it's like nighttime, it's harassment time? Why is that? And I'm sitting there. Anybody ever feel sorry for yourself? Just raise both hands. And Bryce is right. This position is not void of struggle. But I will say that we do have a group of people who will not let us sit there in it for very long. But I'm sitting there in this great chair. Actually, it wasn't a great chair. I take that back. Miss Charisse had let me borrow this recliner that you had to just push a button. And it would just raise your legs up and you could go up and down and up and down. And I'm sitting in this gray chair one night, and my brother had passed away. Would have been 62, the end of July. And I'm mad. I'm mad because I don't understand. I'm mad because the whole thing was squirrely. And I'm missing him, and mad at the devil, and mad at people, mad at my leg. Whoops. Mad. And just want to make sure I read everything. And there's my parents, you know, here they are. And I honestly, being transparent, they're in their aging years. And you're thinking about responsibilities and how to care for them. And these things are rolling through your mind. And I'm sitting in this chair, and all of a sudden, I felt like Paul must have felt. But Paul did something in that dungeon of the prison with stocks on his feet. He realized that the power to break free was in his mouth. He realized that, he wasn't worried about this or this or his back. He was worried about this. And he realized that there might not have been victory to maybe jump or shout or move around or do whatever and even get out. But he realized there was a victory that could happen right here. And I'm sitting in that recliner. Back then I had this thing. And I remember just sitting down and going, getting up. And this is when I walked like this, you know. Remember all of you that knew that. And there was a song that I had on repeat. I'd play it every day, every day, every day, every day. How many of you know you need a song? Because if not, the devil will play a tune. He loves a tune. And I began to sing this song. I can't sing it. Go for it.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety.
That first verse that you play that song, you just barely believe in it. And I'm talking about, you're going, I speak Jesus. I'm being honest. But there's something that happens when you put it on repeat. And you let it play. And Paul and Silas were in that prison. And they said they were doing praying and singing hymns and songs. And they were doing it over and over and over. So much so. And it couldn't have been quiet. You know why it couldn't have been quiet? Because all the other prisoners heard them. And they were in the dungeon. They were in the deepest part. Yet all the other prisoners were able to hear them. And they began to sing their song, I speak Jesus. Something happened in their life. And the very same thing that can happen, that happened in their life, can happen in your life. See, the interesting thing is the enemy always wants to keep your mouth bound and your feet bound because he wants to keep you away from your purpose. He wants to keep you from fulfilling the call of God on your life. So he makes it that you're so heavy and you're so burdened and you can't feel like there's a way out and you've been reading the word. I'm telling you, I didn't need another scripture. I read a lot of scripture. I didn't need another small group that day. I needed my voice to say something. I needed a song to come out of my mouth so that the devil knew that, guess what? This is a fixed fight. And I'm winning. And I refuse to give in. And it might feel like I'm going to miss my brother. And it might feel like this stupid leg can't move. And it might feel like my parents are going through their golden years. But there's a song. There's a song. Y'all want to sing it with her? Stand up.
Jesus in the mountains. mountains.
Stand up if you want to.
And Jesus in the streets.
Jesus
in the darkness.
Over
every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus. Team, come up. And Miss Annie and Hannah can switch places. You know, it's funny. The enemy always likes us to take a beating and go away quietly. You ever notice that? The enemy will whip you and then say, shh, 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 you ought to be embarrassed. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had the enemy just kind of kick your butt and then say, shame on you for letting the enemy kick your butt? You're the dumb one who did it to me. Now it's shame on me instead of shame on you. You know, what's interesting is that when the prison doors flung open, when they flung open and the stocks were broken free, many of you know this story. Here's the thing. The jailer got scared because he thought Paul and Silas would run. And when they didn't run, what happened was the jailer came in contact with them and he got saved. And he listened. What he did is he took Paul and Silas out of the jail cell and he took them to his home. And his whole family got... Now, here's the thing. Listen, Paul and Silas... I don't know at what point they got clothes on. But it says that they went to the jailer's house and he began to clean up their wounds. And while he was there, they got saved. And not only did they get saved in this period of time, they got baptized. And then all the authorities were in an uproar because they found out that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. And they could get in big trouble for mistreating. Listen, the enemy's in big trouble for messing with you. Or he could be, unless you keep letting him mess with you. And they were in big trouble. And you know what they said to the prison guard? They said, hey, tell Paul and Silas. Hey, Dave, tell Paul and Silas. They're forgiven. Just go on and just get out of town. Ever had the enemies like, you know what? It's all right. You're a screw up. It's all right. You've made too big of a mess of this. Just go ahead and shh. Go on. You don't need to be a part of that community. You'll be embarrassed. You just go on and get out of town. And you know what Paul said? He said, heck no. He said, we want a public apology. He said, we want you to come and we want you to publicly apologize to us. How many of you know that Jesus said he made a display of the enemy openly? He drug him through town and said, you're defeated and you have no right to my life. So many of us take butt whoopings and we're like, I don't even know what all that was about. It was a butt whooping from the devil. And he's defeated. And what I love about Paul and Silas is that immediately following, they went back to Lydia's house. And it says that they met with a body of believers
and encourage them and strengthen them, and they rejoiced. This is why Paul, in the book of Philippians, this is his first encounter with these people. He knows what it's like. He's saying, look, you've seen me in hardship. You've seen how I responded when I was beaten and stripped and left. You saw how it was when things got hard. And you saw how I responded. This is the joy of the Lord, that you may rejoice and rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. These are the people that I'm talking to. These are the people on his first encounter. So as we read the book of Philippians and you see Paul say over and over and over again, be strengthened and rejoice, be strengthened and rejoice. He knows how to do it. Amen. So let's just sing that one.
Rains came, rains, my house was built.
Oh, come on, make a declaration this morning.
I'm safe with you.
Come on.
I'm gonna make it through.
Come on, declare it.
Rain came, my house was
full. Oh, come on, yeah.
I'm safe with you.
You're gonna make it. Disciplines down, but you don't got no jump. Some of you got that community down, but you don't got no shout. Your joy can't be found and the enemy's squeezing. And guess what? Whatever he squeezes, whatever's in you is gonna what? Come out. So if there ain't no joy, you gotta jump a little. Try it out. Oh, thanks. I know, you're way too spiritual for it. I'm not even nervous. This whole series is going to be like this. Guess what? I'm nervous too. He makes me nervous. But I'm not going to be religious and not be in relationship and not be happy. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to serve God and not have His strength. I'm not going to serve God and not have His joy. I'm not going to do it. Some of us, we're wound up tighter than a tick. Can I tell you something? I know I'm over. I know. Can I tell you something real quick? The other day we walked into staff meeting. I just finished my small group. and my phone was hidden underneath of something. And I couldn't find it. And then I dung it and I found it. And when I found it, I said, what did I say? I said, daggone it, that's so irritating. What did I say? I said, daggone it, that's so irritating. And you know what she said to me? She said, wow, that was quick. She said, wow, that was quick. And the Holy Spirit said this to me. The moment she said that, I was a little irritated that she said it to me. But on the way from her saying that to the bathroom, the Holy Spirit said to me, wow, she's right. How quick did the enemy steal your, over your stupid phone, you couldn't find it, and you got all in the flesh in a matter of seconds. He said, your joy is that shallow, huh, Tiff? He said, wow, you're a good reader of the word, but you ain't got no joy. And I thought, I'm gonna let this series kick my butt. I'm gonna do a lot more of this. And maybe a little less of this. I mean, I'm gonna keep doing this because guess what? It's in this that my joy comes. But I'm gonna tell you something. If this ain't followed by this and some songs, I don't care what songs you get. Yeah, I care what songs you get in. Hallelujah. Stir it up. If you need to know how to have fun, go work in toddlers. Have fun. Say, God is happy. Am I happy? Father God, bless them. Bless them. Stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of them. Stir it up. We've been putting the word in. We've been gathering. Stir it up. What's on the inside of them? Renew their strength and joy. Stir it up in us. I thank you that you bless them this week. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Give them joy in their mouth and laughter in their mouth. And if there's anyone in this room, and you would say, Pastor Tiffany, I've never even received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I need a joy. I don't want to just be happy. I need a joy that's never going to leave me. Well, his name is Jesus. Joy is Jesus. And he wrote your name and pre-planned you and decided to even bring you into this world. And he's got a plan for your life. And if you're in this place and you've never, ever made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, here's what I want you to do. As soon as service is over, I'm going to be at the back door. You just come and wait for me. And just stand there and you wait for me. And we're going to pray together and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Because I want to do it with you. We thank you for it. Thank you for this series. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I adore you. Get your kids quick and get out of here. And we love you so much. Bye.
Hey, I'm Pastor Stephen. This is Pastor Tiffany. We just want to thank you for joining our online worship experience today. And grateful to have you. We got some information that we want to pass on to you. Maybe you can connect up with us here real soon back on another online worship experience.
We'd love to connect with you. And if you just take a moment and download our Coastal Family Church app, you're going to find a gray card on that section. Just take a moment and submit that and fill that out. We'd love to put a free gift in your hand and also slip a letter in the mail letting you know more about Coastal Family Church and any upcoming events we have. Maybe this is your first time with us, and again, we just want to say thank you. If you call Coastal Family Church your home, we want to let you know that there's a several ways that you can give, also on our app or on our website. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. Pastor Stephen.
Hey, we'll see you soon. You guys have a great day.